Our second scripture reading today, our gospel lesson, comes from Matthew chapter 6, and I do invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel. Jesus is speaking to his followers, and he says this: "Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If you are familiar with the cycle of the church year, you'll know that October is typically when we kick off our stewardship campaign, which concludes with a dedication of financial pledges for the coming year. During this time, we talk honestly about the relationship that we have between faith and money and about the gift of generosity. But the concept of stewardship encompasses more than simply how much do we contribute to the church budget. A holistic understanding of stewardship looks at everything we have and everything we are as blessings from the God who created us and all we see and know. That's how we use our gifts, financial and otherwise, has implications for our faith. Stewardship is more about faithfulness in how we live in all aspects of our life than simply how much we put in the offering plate. When someone joins the church, either through confirmation, profession of faith, or transferring, they take a vow to support the church with their prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. These promises highlight two truths for me: that the church needs people, faithful members who are willing to step up and serve in various different ministry aspects. A church depends upon the people who make ministry happen. People who give of their time and talents, their passion and dedication, believing that through their participation in this community of faith, we can make our lives and the world a better place, more like the kingdom of God. As we do church together, our faith grows, faith in each other, in the love of God that we experience here, and faith in the one who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Which leads me to the second truth: that people need the church. How we live out our faith life in this community, which includes what we choose to offer for God's work through the church, our growth, or is all of that, is dependent upon the development and growth of our spiritual life, our growth as a follower of Christ. And growth doesn't just happen by accident. Growth takes work, and intentionality, opportunity and inspiration, nurturing and support. It takes a community. It takes a village to help along the way. People need the church because here we are reminded that the world doesn't revolve around us, that love really does win in the end, that we're not alone in our fight for justice, and that, yes, God can do amazing things through our lives and in the world around us. It is with these two truths, that the church needs people and that people need the church, that we engage in this year's stewardship campaign. Put your whole self in, and I'm not going to sing the hokey pokey. This theme of putting your whole self in acknowledges that spiritual growth of us as individuals and a congregation, that vital ministry of the church, these things don't just happen by accident, but with intentionality and faithfulness. Being a faithful and growing Christian means more than simply showing up to worship on Sundays. It means putting our whole selves into our faith development and into the church we call home. Over the next 5 weeks, we'll dig into each one of these membership vows: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And we'll look for where God is calling us to grow and stretch. This week, you should receive in the mail a pledge card that will look different than it has in past years. This year, rather than just making a pledge for a contribution amount, we're asking you to make a promise to God in each one of these areas: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And on October 29th, in worship, we'll bring forward and dedicate our pledges, asking God to bless us on this journey. And so after a long introduction to our series, I turn to our topic for today. Prayers. Many of us are taught how to pray from childhood on. We're taught often with rote prayers, or prayers that you repeat or recite day in and day out, like, God is great, God is good, or now I lay me down to sleep, or even, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. These prayers are not bad in any way, shape, or form. They teach us how to begin the conversation with God. Too often, people don't think about the words they say. They just repeat it, because that's what you do. You say your prayers. You say your grace. And more often, people don't graduate to, or maybe less often, I don't know, more or less often, we don't graduate past those rote prayers into just talking with God. In our gospel reading, Jesus says, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases, thinking that you will be heard because of your many words. God knows what you need, even before you ask. God knows what you need, even before you ask. So if God knows what we need, do we not need to ask? I wouldn't go there. It's helpful to just open up and be in conversation with God. What that sometimes becomes for some people, though, is that prayer is simply a request to get from God what they want. Those prayers can go something like, God, please help me find a parking spot. Or, God, please let the weather be nice tomorrow for my sisters or daughters or my wedding. We've all said prayers like that. It's a hope that we want something, but we need to be careful to not move prayer into God being a genie in a bottle, where we just rub that lamp and request something and sit back and wait for God to work miracles. Deep and meaningful prayer should not begin with who we are or what we want from God, but with who God is and what God wants for us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's about God working in and through us to transform us from the inside out, and as a result, the world around us. Prayer has the power to make real change in our lives and in the lives of those around us. The question is, do we believe it? Do we believe in the power of prayer? I heard about a congregation, I think this story is a little old, but a congregation of teetotaling Methodists, which means no alcohol. You couldn't even like, So a teetotaling Methodist who prayed for years because the bar across the street, they didn't like that it was so close to them. They didn't like that people were drinking right across the street from them. So they prayed for years that this disreputable bar would be closed. One night, the bar was struck by lightning, and it burned down. And promptly, the bar owner sued the church. He said that the congregation's prayers were responsible for the fire, and the church contested the lawsuit. And after hearing the case, the judge said, I'm not sure how I'm going to rule on this case, but one thing is clear. The bar owner believes in prayer. The church people do not. Do you believe in prayer? When was the last time you really opened up and let God in? Quieting the voices that play in your mind, removing the false mask that we wear in public, and we're just yourself with God. It is in this place of vulnerability that our true prayers reside. Our deepest fears and our hopes, our joys and our sorrows and doubts. And it is here where we can not just talk at God, which is too often what prayer becomes, but stop and listen. Let God in and just be. It is here where we discern God's leading in our lives.